Well, take out your Bibles this evening. I have some thoughts to share. And it's almost going to be maybe Bible drill night. We're going to go all around the Bible in a few different places. Now, I'm going to have to take the old heat capturer off here for a while. Hope no one minds. We're going to talk tonight about stewardship. Stewardship. Every one of us is a steward in that a steward just means a governor. A stewardship is a governance. And so every one of us has been entrusted with something from God, our Creator. In other words, everything in your life, everything that you have around you, everything that you own, everything about you in general is owned by God, not by you. And He has just given it to you graciously, but He expects you to use those things His way, for His will, and for you to be a good steward. What we're going to talk about tonight specifically is investment. Investment. God wants you to be a good investor, all right? So what I've got is a nice presentation where you can invest in some real estate. No, that's not the point. God wants you to be a good investor. You are a steward whether you choose to be a steward or not. You're either a good steward or you're a poor steward. So you can't really say, well, I'm not going to do that or whatever. You are a steward one way or another, either a good one or a bad one. Everything you have is on loan from God. You are His manager. Now, as we turn to Matthew 25, by the way, whenever we come to church and we hear a message on stewardship, I know the general thought would be, oh, great, another message on stewardship. My wife doesn't mind this overused illustration of mine, but 10 years ago, we were, I don't know if it was that long ago, somewhere around there, we were at our home church and our pastor was preaching on stewardship. And my wife was working every other weekend then, and so he had a three-message series on stewardship. She heard one, she didn't hear the one in between, but she came back and she says, all he ever talks about is money, is that it? And I thought, wow. She didn't say it like that, by the way, that's me coming out, she's very kind. But isn't that kind of, it's kind of one of those issues that just kind of gets in there. Is that all you ever talk about, money? Well, Matthew 25 is the parable of the talents. And you may recognize that. And what I want us to think about then is this issue of investment tonight as we kind of walk through quite a few different scriptures, quite honestly, on stewardship. Well, let's look at Matthew 25, 14 to 30. Let's read that together. And then let's talk about it a little bit and see what God has to say about this issue of being a good investor. 25:14. The kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country who called his own servants and delivered his goods to them. Okay, so as we read this, notice some of these things that he's saying. We're going to talk about these things. The kingdom of heaven is really where he starts out there. The kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country who called his own servants and delivered his goods to them. And to one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, each according to his own ability, and immediately he went on a journey. Then he who had received 5 talents went and traded with them and made another 5 talents. Likewise, he who had received 2 gained 2 more. He who had received 1 went and dug in the ground and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants came and settled accounts with them. And so he who had received 5 talents came and brought 5 other talents, saying, Lord, you delivered to me 5 talents. Look, I have gained 5 more besides them. His Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. He who had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, you delivered me 2 talents. I have gained 2 more talents beside them. His Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. Then he who had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. And I was afraid and went and hid your talent in the ground. Look, there you have what is yours. But his Lord answered and said to him, you wicked and lazy servant, you knew that I reap where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed. So you ought to have deposited my money with the bankers, and at my coming I would have received back my own with interest. Therefore, take the talent from him and give it to him who has 10 talents. For to everyone who has, more will be given, and he will have abundance. But from him who does not have, even what he has will be taken away. And cast the unprofitable servant into outer darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. The words of Jesus, very serious, as we talk about this issue of stewardship and being a good investor. Let's pray together. And let's consider these and other things from the Word of God. Lord, again, we thank you for this opportunity to gather together. And God, just some of the sweetest times to come together on Sunday evening and just fellowship and get around your Word together with other people who are committed and love you. And I just pray, God, that especially as we remember the Lord's table tonight, that this would just be a real time of growth, of reflection, of fellowship, God, of unity and of joy in our lives as we think about these truths that are so real in our lives and so operative. And God, just pray that you would bring conviction where conviction is needed and encouragement where encouragement is needed. And God, just pray as we look into your word, there would just be real clarity to the things we're learning. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to start out tonight. No PowerPoint to follow along with. It's just one of those things I just don't do on Sunday nights usually. I think PowerPoint is really good, but just choose not to. I want to think about some biblical thoughts of the issue of treasure. And you notice the inference there and the real focus in Matthew 25 as he starts out. And the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country. So there's this whole thing about the kingdom of heaven that Jesus is teaching on there as it goes to being a good investor, as it being a good steward. And really, the clearest way for me to think about what the Bible means when it says the kingdom of God or the kingdom of heaven, it's not perfect, but the clearest way for me is to think of it as having a right relationship with God. In other words, being under his kingdom purpose. It's relating to him the way that he says to relate to him. And so in our clearer revelation than they would have had at this time, it is to come to him through Jesus Christ, to be a believer, to be saved, to be in his family. That's what he's talking about, the kingdom of heaven here. Let's look at a few passages around the Bible on these treasure thoughts as we start to think about it. Kingdom of heaven is one of them, Matthew 13, 44. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and hid for joy over it, and goes and sells all that he has to buy that field. Okay, so now again we have the parable of the talents, and he's connecting that to the kingdom of heaven. Now we have the treasure, the pearl of great price, the treasure hidden in a field, is connected to the kingdom of heaven. It's very interesting to me. These are just thoughts, treasure thoughts. The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure. Matthew 19, you can keep your finger there. We'll be going back and forth in Matthew. Matthew 19, 21, 22 talks about the kingdom of heaven versus earthly treasure. Yeah, it is Matthew. Matthew 19, 21. Jesus, this is when he was talking to the rich young ruler, and he says, if you want to be perfect, go and sell what you have and give it to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come follow me. And 22, but when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Now, there's sort of a contradiction in comparison there. The guy, he came to Jesus thinking that he wanted to know about real treasure. Treasure in heaven. And so Jesus points him to that. You do this and you'll have treasure in heaven. But the guy was sorrowful. because he had much treasure here that he wanted to hold on to. Do you get that? Do you get that conflict and comparison that was going on there? The kid, the young ruler, he wasn't really all that concerned about real treasure. He wanted to hold on to what he had and still be right with God, right? And Jesus was pointing to his heart. Your treasure, the things that you are desiring are wrong. Matthew 12:35 talks about the treasure of your heart. Those things that really are stored up in your heart. 12:35. A good man out of the good treasure or treasured up, treasure of his heart, brings forth good things, and the evil man out of the evil treasure or the things treasured up, the things that he loves, brings forth evil. So this treasure issue then takes on a new dynamic, and it is the things that you live for. Really, that's really what this says in this passage. What you live for, what you really love, the things that you desire, that is where your heart is. It's not too hard for us to see that treasure issue. Matthew 6:19, then we'll go to Mark 12. Matthew 6:19-21, Sermon on the Mount. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures again in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal, for where your treasure is, your heart will be. Where are your treasures laid up? That's the point of that. Well, the things that you love will show where your treasures are. Don't waste your time laying up treasure on this earth. And for Americans, that's just a really impactful verse, isn't it? Because every single, I mean, I suppose maybe just people in general, you know, our experience as Americans, but probably just people everywhere. But that's what we're all about, isn't it? I mean, I got to get what I can get while I'm here, while the getting's good. And treasuring up those things on earth and getting more and more and having the ease and the comfort that go along with those. But the truth is, those things will not last. They will not last. They will not satisfy you. So it's not a good endeavor. It's not a good investment, you could say, to lay up treasures in this earth because they're going to rot, rust, and they're going to be gone. Now, Mark 12, this is a really awesome passage on investment, on treasure. And let's look there. Mark 12:41. And the point of this is, Mark 12:41, is that the amount is not as important as the faithfulness that God requires of his people. Now, Jesus sat opposite the treasury and saw how the people put money into the treasury, and many who were rich put in much. Then one poor widow came and threw in 2 mites, which makes a quadrons. Now, that really clarifies it for me. Does it clarify it for you? I didn't know the mites, but then when it said quadrons, I got it, right? Okay, it's like half a penny. It's like half a penny. So she threw in almost nothing. Okay, but look what it says. So he called his disciples to himself and said to them, "Assuredly I say to you that this poor widow has put in more than all those who have given to the treasury." So she put in half a penny, and Jesus said she put in more. It's about her faithfulness, isn't it? She trusted God with everything she had. And you think, well, this is half a penny, who cares, right? I waste that much every hour. No, that's it. That's all she had. If she wanted to eat, that was her quadrants for the day. I mean, that was it. And she was like, I want to give. I want to invest my little tiny bit because it's all I got. So she was faithful. And she was really saying, I'm going to have to trust God now for my food tonight. Wasn't she? I mean, this is it. This is all I got. I'm putting it in. That's what she was saying by that little faithful gift that she gave. Now, all of that kind of leading up to this thing about being a good investor. Now, I'm going to disappoint some of you. We're not talking about money tonight. We're not talking about money. We're going to talk about something much more important. If you want to start giving more, I would like that. I would encourage you to do that. I think that would be a good thing, the right thing to do. But that's not what we're talking about tonight. We're going to talk about an investment that God wants you to make that is far greater. that is far more important, quite honestly. Turn with me now to 2 Corinthians, and we're going to spend a great deal of our time there. 2 Corinthians 4:7. We're going to, like I said, keep your finger here because we're going to spend a lot of time in 2 Corinthians 4 and 5. We have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power might be of God and not of us. He brings a different kind of treasure onto the scene in this passage, doesn't he? We have this treasure in earthen vessels. Now, we have to read a little bit more to kind of find out what this treasure is, but just think about that. There's a lot said there. We have this precious treasure, this thing that means so much and is worth so much, and we have it stored in a flawed, breakable, earthen clay pot that's so fragile. Now, let's back up and read 1 through 6 to find out what this treasure is. Therefore, since we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we do not lose heart, but we have renounced the hidden things of shame, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation or showing of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, whose minds the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. For we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your bondservants for Jesus' sake. For it is the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels. There's a greater treasure tonight that you have been given, much greater than any financial thing we could ever talk about. And there's so much, this passage is so rich. I would just love to fellowship all night talking about how deep and rich this is. We'll just kind of skim the surface of it. Notice some of the things that this treasure is, and we're going to hone in on one in particular tonight to try to make good applications. First thing that we see this treasure is this treasure is our ministry. We have this ministry that he has given us. And this ministry that Paul says is connected to some of the other things that are the treasure in there. This ministry, and that was Paul's ministry, but it's also our ministry now. And that is that ministry that we're talking about of investing in people's lives. The ministry then is the ministry of the gospel. And that is this treasure as well. This treasure that we have in earthen vessels is the amazing and glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. And then thirdly, this treasure is Jesus himself. And that's really the treasure that Paul is talking about. Jesus is the treasure. He is the greatest thing anyone could ever receive. This treasure, the gospel of Jesus Christ, salvation, the kingdom issue is there, just like we looked at earlier, knowing God, having a right relationship with him. Our ministry, the gospel, and the person of Jesus Christ. You see that in verses 4 and 5 there, where Paul is just, and do you not get his heart there? I just love that. Whose mind the God of this age have blinded, who do not believe. And then I can just hear him preaching, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. He's talking about Jesus there. And there's a whole thing we're not going to talk about tonight, but he was laying out this foundation where he takes him to creation, the light that shined out of darkness. He takes him to Moses when Moses saw God face to face and he reflected his glory. And in Galatians, he says that glory was fading away. But now we have the light of the gospel of Jesus that shines. And it shines into dark hearts, he says there. And then the treasure then is that whole truth there that God wants us to invest. Did you notice in the parable of the talents that there was a gain in each one of those investments? There was a gain. In those good investments, the investment had interest. In fact, it doubled. Would any of you like to make an investment tonight that you could double your financial return? I would enjoy that. I think you could sell quite a few of those to people, right? I'll guarantee you a doubling. That was a really good investment. There was a gain. And that was just money. We have been given a stewardship over the very gospel of Jesus Christ as his children. Do you realize that? We have been given a ministry as a stewardship. And God wants his light to shine into the darkness of people's lives and illuminate and deliver them. And guess what? We have an enemy that's working against us as we try to make these investments, don't we? The God of this age has blinded people. Our treasure is the good news. We had this word come up in our deacons meeting, euangelia. U is good. Epsilon, upsilon, ooh, good. Message, the very good message. It's the word that God gave us, and it's good. And, you know, if you go to a funeral, you have the eulogy. That's good words. Eulogia means say good things about the person. Eulogia, the good news, the good message, the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's the ministry that God wants you to invest tonight. So think about this with me here now, because I want to tie all this together as we go to 2 Corinthians 5. Okay, so walk through it. We are stewards. We don't certainly own anything. And God requires his people as stewards to be good investors, right? Clear from Matthew 25. The good investing steward, good job. The lazy and wicked one, outer darkness. Okay, pretty serious. Since we are stewards, we don't own anything. God wants us to be about his business, making good investments. The greatest treasure of all is Jesus. And God wants us to take this ministry, this treasure that we have in these earthen vessels, and be good investors. Okay? Now, he gives us some applications. The good news is Jesus. He is the treasure. We are his ministers. We are his stewards, and we are to be investing in those things. So that's the sort of framework there. He wants us to then invest that. Now, look at some of these. Let's just finish out in 4 here. Then I want to get to chapter 5 for the applications are really good. 2 Corinthians 4, then he goes on. Let's read an extended passage together and just have a few thoughts there. 7 to 18. Here's how we... This is sort of the earthen vessel part of it, by the way. The investments sometimes are difficult. We have this treasure in earthen vessels that the excellence of the power was not of God, maybe of God and not of us. We get that, right? Here's the gospel. Go do it. What? I mean, we are entrusted with that. Are you serious? God has to work through that. We get that. The excellence of power has to be of God. He has to do it. It's not of us, but we are his ministers. We are hard-pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. We are persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed, always carrying about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus might also be manifest in our body. We who live are always delivered to death for Jesus' sake, that the life of Jesus also might be manifest in our mortal flesh. So then, death is working in us, but life in you. And since we have the same spirit of faith, according to what is written, I believed and therefore I spoke, we also believe and therefore speak, knowing this, that he who raised up the Lord Jesus will also raise us up with Jesus and will present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, that the grace having spread through the many may cause thanksgiving to abound to the glory of God. Therefore, we do not lose heart, for even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. We do not look at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. The things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. And you know what this passage right here is? This passage is Paul telling us his life. His life was to invest himself into the very lives of the Corinthian believers and to give himself to the point where he was dying for the ministry of the gospel of Jesus Christ. But it was to help them. It was for their good. It was to build them up, to reach them and to love on them. Oh, we are always delivered to death for Jesus' sake, that the life of Jesus might be made shown, made manifest in our mortal flesh. Death is working in us. That investment cost Paul, didn't it? But life in you. Wow. There was some interest there, wasn't there? There was a gain. Do you get that? That's exactly what the stewardship issue that God has for us is all about. And I want to parse out some of this. I want to pick some of this apart and look at it and chew on it. And I want to get into five and think about it. But let's just think about that a little bit. Let's just let that truth of God wash over us. The life that God has called you to as a believer in Jesus Christ is to invest yourself into the lives of others for their good. And guess what? It'll cost you. It is going to cost you. Paul is saying, I am put to death every day. Didn't he? Every day I am put to death as I minister the gospel. The life of Jesus might be more clearly seen in me, might be made manifest, might be shown, might be more clearly seen. And let me tell you, it can be painful. People are going to let you down if you start to invest into their lives, aren't they? People are going to start to hurt you. You know that? You're going to have to go to battle. You start investing the gospel into the lives of people. That's uncomfortable. That's what Paul was living out. He's just telling us his testimony. He was a good steward, and that's really what God's call for us here is. Ephesians 3:8-10. Paul tells us that that's really the ministry that God has left his church here with. To me, who am less than the least of all the saints, this grace was given to me. So it's this good gift of God that Paul didn't deserve. He says that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ and to make all see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the ages has been hidden in God, who created all things through Jesus Christ, to the intent now. Now notice this. That the many-faceted or manifold wisdom of God might be made known by the church to the principalities and powers in heavenly places. This ministry that God has us in now has been his plan all along. And it's the very reason that he left us here and hasn't taken us up to heaven as soon as we know him. We have this ministry, we have this treasure in earthen vessels. This treasure is the gospel. The gospel is our ministry. The good news is Jesus himself. And Jesus wants us as his stewards to be good investors and be making good investments and to see some interest back. Now let's look at chapter 5. And we have some really good applications here on how we can be good investors tonight. We're doing fine on time, I think. Now, I love this too, by the way. Let's back up to chapter 4 for just a second here, because here's something, Paul's testimony. He tells us already that this is a good investment before we get to 5 in chapter 4:17. I love this too, by the way. This just stuns me. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment. Has anyone ever thought, you know what, that Apostle Paul, he had it easy. He really had light affliction, you know. It was pretty easy life. I don't think so, right? And he says, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment. And see, he had a biblical view on that, right? It's hard, but it's a moment. It's just short. Now look what he says here. It's a really good investment. It is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Right? I mean, that's the right way to think about it. Yeah, it's going to be hard, and yes, I'm hard-pressed on every side, and yes, I'm put to death every day, and yes, it's difficult, and you people, you know, you think Paul ever wanted to go to the Corinthian church and shake some stuff up, maybe slap some people around or something? Probably, right? They were doing some things that were crazy. But he said, I'm investing myself, and I'm loving on you, and this hardship's for a moment, and it's a far exceeding eternal weight of glory. And so it's a great investment. It's worth it. It's the right thing to do. Now, this treasure then, investing this treasure, here's some practical applications for us. 5:9 is the first one is we invest the treasure by actually appreciating the treasure, right? We have been given so much, and so we live in light of that. 2 Corinthians 5:9 says, therefore we make it our aim, whether present or absent, to be well-pleasing to Him. Okay, so now, we have been given this treasure. Jesus came. Come on, let's just think about this a little bit tonight. You're the creator of the universe. He made all this. And he was in perfect fellowship with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit in a place of joy and bliss with no problems, no sin, love, fellowship, unity, perfection, every way, complete joy. And yet he made all this knowing what we would do and knowing what he would have to do and what it would cost him. He chose to do it anyway. And then he chose to glorify himself by coming as one of us and dying for us. Wow. And so logically you would say, that is so awesome. Thank you for that amazing gift. I'm going to live for you. It just makes perfect sense, doesn't it? I mean, Jesus has done so much. Why would we think that any other thing would be his plan and for his people to live for him and to love him and to enjoy him? I mean, what a ripoff to say that Jesus came and died for you and it's not so that you could know him and love him and enjoy him and have a relationship with him. That's just a very small part of the picture. The gospel is not just be saved and wait for heaven, but the gospel is here's Jesus. You get to have a relationship with him forever. How awesome is that? So that's one way that we invest this treasure is that we live for him. We love him. We say yes to him. He is the most important thing in our lives, and he is who we make much of and who we live for, exalt, and love. Now, we're not going to look at this as much tonight, but one of the ways we do that, God has clearly said in his word, is by loving other people. And so that's another good example for us here. Invest in the lives of people. Serving and loving God by serving and loving people, obeying God, and then investing in their lives. Look at 2 Corinthians 5:11-17 with me now. And by the way, I hope you got that from chapter 4, that that's what Paul was about already, was investing in the lives of people. But let's look at this here now. We walk, because this is a great application for us, we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, yes, well-pleased, to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Therefore, we make it our aim, whether present or absent, to be well-pleasing to him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things in the body done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. Okay, so that kind of stirs me on to want to make a good investment. But then he says this. Now, this is the one where we should think about others. Knowing, therefore, the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. But we are well known to God, and I trust are well known in your consciences. We do not commend, let's go ahead and read it there, but just think about that thought as we read even. We do not commend ourselves again to you, but we give you opportunity to boast on our behalf that you may have an answer of those who boast in appearance and not in heart. For if we were besides ourselves, it is for God. If we are of sound mind, it is for you. The love of Christ compels us, because we judge thus, that if one died for all, then all died. If he died for all, then those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again. Therefore, Paul's application, therefore from now on we regard no one according to the flesh, even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things have passed away and all things have become new. So there's two real central applications for us there. And this is not laser clear here, but I'm going to break it down for us to think of it as investing in the lives of people inside our body and investing in the lives of people outside our body. And when Paul's talking about the terror of the Lord there, that makes me think of people outside our body. But you know what? This is written to the church. Okay, this is written to the church in Corinth. So there, you know, it's not real clear. Some people in the church that didn't know the Lord and all that stuff. But for our purposes, I think it's clarity just to say people inside and outside. And really, the investment that we make is different in those situations. Those that are outside, okay, you have been given a trust. You have been shown from God that people need a Savior, right? And he has given you the gospel. And he's given you Jesus himself. He's delivered you. He's given you freedom. He's given you a wonderful life. And Paul says, knowing the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. Think about that. What would God have you do in relationship to people that are outside of Jesus Christ, knowing what you know? What would he have you do? And I'm not saying that I want us all to turn around and be people with billy clubs and Bibles, right? That's not it. I'm talking about just having enough compassion on someone to give them a fit word, to love on them. And especially, you think our Creator would have enough power and desire to open up a couple doors for you now and then if you desired it? You know, you don't have to go around looking for it. Just ask God to open those doors for you. God, you know my weakness. Would you bring someone into my life that I could just tell them there is a wonderful Savior who loves you, and he wants you to know him, and he wants you to relate to him, and I can help you see that from the Scriptures. I'd love to do that. Just that. That's eternal. That's forever. And that has the opportunity to change someone's destiny for all of eternity. Man, that's a really good investment, isn't it? How long would that take you? It might take you a long time, but it might take you 10 minutes to change someone forever. Think about that. I would like to propose to you that if you would give 10 minutes, you can gain forever. How does that sound for an investment? That's pretty good, don't you think? Those are the people that are outside, knowing the terror of the Lord, knowing what, having some compassion on people, knowing what they're facing. It's unreal. Forever separated from God. That's eternal. And you have been given everything. Then investing with those inside as well. And again, I think there's some crossover there. I think, you know, there's people inside that are hurting in the same way or have needs in the same way in churches. But investing your life, and this is the one that I hope that you will hear this tonight and be stirred up to invest yourself in someone in your own body this year. Constantly, we are faced on Thursdays with people who carry the name of Jesus Christ. And I'm not God. I truly believe most of them are believers. God knows I don't, but I really do. They're just people that are either in rebellion or they haven't been taught or both. And you know what they need? They need a good preaching message, don't they? They just need to sit right down here in front where my spit can hit them. And they need to hear me preach at them and preach at them and preach at them. It's really what they need. No. That isn't what they need at all. They need someone to get down in the mess of their life and walk through it with them. And that's you. Did you know that? That is you. That is you willing to come alongside a brother or sister in Jesus Christ and walk and wrap arms of love around them and walk through some of the hardest stuff with them. Help them. And point them to the truth. Well, I can't. I can't do that. All I have is the Bible and the gospel and the Holy Spirit. There's no way I could help anyone. Right? That's all I've got. You don't understand. It's an investment. And I tell you what, it's hard. It can hurt. And people will let you down. And you're going to get your hands dirty. And you're going to be put to death every day. Right? And it'll change you. You'll be carrying around the dying of the body of the Lord of Jesus Christ. And so that the life of Jesus can be more fully manifest in you. And what is Christian life all about? Is it not about emulating our wonderful Savior? What did he do for you? He got right down there in the mess with you, didn't he? In fact, he got down in the mess so bad that he went up on a cross. And that was what he was willing to invest. 5:17. If anyone is in Christ, behold, all things have passed away. Old things have passed away. All things have become new. And then you back up to 14, and it says this, the love of Christ compels us. In other words, because of all of that we understand about the love of Christ, we are driven on Because we judge thus, that if one died, then died for all, then all died. And he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again. You see? And it's not okay. It's not okay to be a believer, to be a follower of Jesus Christ, and then to continue to go on living for yourself. And so both people, the people that we're talking about trying to help, and us, we need to get that. That when I invest in you, it's not because I want you to think good of me. It's not because I want some gain in return, but it's just because the love of Christ is driving me on. It's because here I am sitting across the desk from you having coffee, hearing about your life, trying to help you and investing in you, because I know that I should be right over there where you are. Because I need the grace of God just as much as you. And because that person that I'm talking to is much more like me than I am like my Savior. And it's that love of Christ that drives us to make these kinds of investments in the lives of people. And you're the only Jesus that some people will ever know. You're the only person with flesh and bone that they're ever going to meet who is willing to get into their lives. You know how many times I've heard that? You're the only person that's ever listened to me. People 50, 60 years old, you're the only person that's ever listened to me. How sad is that? That is like the saddest statement anyone could ever make. You're the only person my whole life that's ever listened to me. And we got to get this thing of being investors. This is what life is all about. And we don't have that much time. You know that? We have as much time as God gives us. It's over. Your chance to make investments is gone. The love of Christ compels us to this ministry. The love we've been shown, and then just Jesus himself to be able to testify of how worthy he is for our every effort. So the application for us, a couple of them here. Let's get our hands dirty. Well, you don't understand. Someone is going to break my heart. Well, I can guarantee that. You don't understand. I'm going to go home and cry every time I have to talk to that person. Yeah? Yeah, you will. You don't understand. I'm going to pour myself out for hours and hours into the life of some hard-hearted person, and then they're just not even going to listen to me. They're going to reject the truth, and they're going to go on and do something else anyway. Yep. Yep, that'll happen. Think that ever happened to Paul? Happened to him all the time, didn't it? He would go and love on people, they'd beat him up. That's probably not going to happen to you. It might. It's probably not, though, right? Yeah, but let's get our hands dirty. Let's make some good investments. Let's start praying now. Let's not get a billy club and a Bible out, but let's start praying now that God would send specific people into our lives that we can love on. And let's start looking around the body and seeing who could I befriend that I could love a little bit more? Who could I get involved in their life so that they could help me and I could help them? What kind of opportunities and ministries and investments can I make around with other people that I know that would help us both be more like Jesus Christ? That's really what life in the body should be all about. What kind of different investments can you think of even right now God would want you to make? It takes us all the way back to Matthew 25 as we think about it, doesn't it? The parable of the talents. A talent was an incredibly large amount of money. And the guy that had five talents would have been entrusted with an awful lot. And he took that, and he was a wise steward, and he doubled it. And his Lord said to him, "Well done. Good job." And his Lord even said to him, I love that, "You are faithful with a little bit." You know, that talent really would have represented a life's work. The two talents would have probably been, one or two talents would have been a day laborer's life work or a soldier. Five would have been a little bit more than that. How are you investing your life right now? And how would God have you step that up? And so that when you get to heaven, there's nothing on your account, nothing left. And Jesus can just say to you, "Well done. You know what? You were faithful over a little. You are faithful over little. Here's eternity. Enter into the joy of your Lord. I trust that's what all of us would have. And that's really, as a motivation, that's really the heart of our Savior tonight. I'd like our deacons to go ahead and come forward as we just chew on and think about these things. And I'm going to share 1 Peter 1:18 with us as we think about this issue again of treasure. 1 Peter, Peter says, and boy, Peter got this, didn't he? You are not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold, earthly treasure, from your aimless conduct. He was a real fluffy preaching guy, wasn't he? You are not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold from your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. What a treasure. What an awesome stewardship. And what a privilege to be able to be called, to the ministry. We have this ministry, as Paul said in 2 Corinthians 4. The treasure is Jesus. Let's go ahead and pray together as we prepare to remember our Lord. And really, that's the only reason we have anything. He was willing to come and die on a cross to pay our penalty, to give us new life, to give us eternity with Him. Wow. Really? Seriously? Yes. Eternity. And then to leave us here as His people with a job to do. And to leave us here and to give us instruction to love on each other just like He would if He were here. Because guess what He is? It's you. Let's pray together. God, we are humbled as we think about all You've entrusted us with. And God, certainly we know that we need to start at 2 Corinthians 5:9 and live in obedience to You and loving You ourselves and pleasing You and serving You and letting You do that refining and changing work in our own hearts, and so that we can be effective as we try to invest ourselves in the lives of others. But God, I pray that we would not any of us stop there. Because as tonight, God, we are considering the price that Jesus paid. And we're stunned. And our human words can't even comprehend, let alone communicate, why the Creator came and died to pay for the creature's sin. And why You would go to such lengths, God, to save us when we know ourselves. But, oh God, it helps us to know You and how incredible You are. And, oh Lord, our hearts are overflowing with gratitude and with praise because You are awesome. And You, God, are the only one worthy of our lives and everything we would give to You because You already own it. God, tonight we just confess our deep thanks that Jesus Christ went to the cross of Calvary to pay His body, sinless, broken, to pay for the sin that of my sin that we, the penalty we deserve. So God, we just thank You. And Lord, we pray that our lives would just be continually changed by You, and so that we could be said worthy of that gospel. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.